corner of my way. Go side of the road. Go back. Let our hearts not burn. Stay open spirit. Tell you, I feel like Jehovah. I know my Redeemer. I tell you, the words that he spoke then still make the child of God's heart burn. I tell you, I don't know whether I'm pricked in the heart or it's just busted wide open. But I tell you, I feel his presence. I feel my Savior near. Oh, I tell you, it's my privilege, my honor to be standing before you. Thoughts that I have on my mind will start with the book of Jeremiah, chapter 2. Verse 1, it says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and cry." We can check that one off, please. I don't know if y'all know Winnie Myers, but we cry. Go and cry. Cry to who? I believe I'm crying to a specific, peculiar people. Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, "Thus saith the Lord." Brother Wright spoke about that. One of the greatest privilege we have, you know, this gospel that we preach, it doesn't give life, but it brings that life and immortality to life through the gospel. I tell you what, somebody mentioned the life assurance. I was at a racetrack one time coming back from church, and I had my suit coat on, and somebody asked me, he says, "Don't I know you, aren't you a life insurance salesman?" And I said, "No, I'm not in the life insurance business, but I tell you what, I'm in the life assurance business." It was the purpose of the gospel is to assure God's people of life that they have, that he's given them, to his people. That's only one of the gospel benefits. Those that mix it with faith.
Amen.
Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, "Thus saith the Lord." This is what the Lord is saying to Jerusalem. "I remember thee." You know, we heard some things he don't remember anymore. It's wonderful. You know that he don't remember some things. But I tell you, child of God, it's also wonderful that he remembers you. He remembers you. He remembers you now and forever. Amen. Their names are written and engraved in the palms of his hands. But say, "Lord, I remember thee. Since the kindness of thy youth." The Lord is remembering a time in Israel's life. Now, I don't want to over-spiritualize chapter 2. There's a practical purpose to Jeremiah speaking to the nation of Israel at that time. He says, "Thus said the Lord, I remember the kindness of thy youth." He's speaking to a time in Israel's time that was in their kindness of their youth, in the early days. Notice this, he compares it to the love of thine espoused. You know, that reminds me of, and I know there's a few folks here that have been engaged and dated. I remember those times with my wife. Sweet times. They're good times. You know, there are times when, you know, we spoke nice. We spoke nice. We still do. I still do that. I still speak sweet to my wife. As a matter of fact, the older I get, the more I revert back to speaking sweet. I tell you what, nothing else does it any good. I don't like a dog. I don't even have a dog, so we don't even have a dog house. I'm just outside. When thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Speaking to the time when the Lord brought the nation of Israel out of Egypt, and they got to see all the things that God had done for them. He says Israel was holiness unto the Lord. The first fruits of his increase. says, all that devour him. This is when he was their defense, their shield. Now, he always has been. He always will be. But it's when it was evident to them. He says, evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Says, thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in thee, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain. These four verses we see that God is telling, I remember when you trusted me. I remember when you saw the salvation of the Lord. You saw that Red Sea parted. You saw that stone cracked by Moses' rod and water came forth in a desert where there was no water, when you had no power on your own to get water. When I fed you with manna from on high. When I gave you quail when you complained about that. When you had no power of your own to supply that for yourself. Oh, there was a time when you trusted me and you remembered me. And I remembered you. Well, there's something that happened here in verse 5. He says, let's say the Lord, what iniquity have you probably found in me? There was a time we know that Israel strayed. Brother Ronnie talked about it the last part of his verse. I love how he did that because I can do the same things. These truths, this gospel of freedom that we enjoy, that I wish all God's people enjoy. Amen. I tell you, child of God, when we stray from those truths, when we don't stick to the old paths, child of God, when we let error in, when we let untruth in, I tell you, there's a danger where we get robbed from the liberty where we didn't stand. But I don't want to get all into that, Brother Jim. I want to talk about staying in the old paths this morning. But I would be amiss if I didn't warn the child of God about these things. And y'all know this is true. We've seen it happen. But I want to focus more about this time to remember, child of God. Remember. I tell you, this morning, as the brethren preached, I tell you what, I was reminded of some kindness in my youth. I was reminded of the first time that I felt loved in the church of God. I remember the first time this gospel meant something to me when it made my heart burn. Oh, child of God, and there was a time there I never wanted to leave it. I never wanted to depart from it. We need to hold that. Hold fast to that. Hold that. This Bible tells me to stand fast. Hold fast. That means to hold on, not let it go. Something's precious, child of God. You hold on to it. You hold on to it. We would do good to remember those days. Well, I say, Brother Jeff picked at me a little bit, He had picked at a few of us and asked us, what were three y'all want to preach at? I'm not going to go into all that because I don't want to embarrass me or anybody else. But I was sitting over here the other night before last night, man. It seems like, well, I guess it's 1,000 days with the Lord. Seems like we've been here forever. And I mean that. In a good way, brother. But I didn't ever have to listen. I had revelation. I'm still Brother Ted, he handed me the preaching card. He says, are you reading Revelation? Well, yeah. He says, man, we won't start with you. I'm not going to be there long. Chapter 2 of Revelation, we see that these seven churches are there, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it's a revelation. It's the revelation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ unto his churches that are scattered throughout Asia. In chapter 2, he writes unto the church of Ephesus. He says, unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars. In the verses before that, he tells you who those seven stars, those were the elders that were there. Of the seven churches, those seven candlesticks, where the church is there, isn't it wonderful to know that who's holding your pasture still? Who's holding your church? Who walks in the midst when two or three are gathered in my name? There I am in the midst. He says here, this is who says these things. Walketh in the midst of the seven candlesticks, golden, seven golden candlesticks. He says, I know thy works. We can't keep nothing from the Lord within the church, within our individual lives. He knows our works. He says, I know thy works and thy labor. And I notice the church in Ephesus here, when he starts saying this, you know, it sounds real good to me. Sounds like they got it all together. He says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. That sounds like they on a good path. He says that thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not. Oh, they fought against false doctrine. They fought against false apostles. Sounds good. And hast found them liars. Says that has borne and has patience. For my name's sake has labored and hast not fainted. I'll tell you that. I found fault with them. Yeah, but then, Lord, who knows all? Knows all our works. He says, nevertheless. You know, there's some neverthelesses in the Bible that I like. This is not necessarily one of them. I like that one when he's talking about Hymenaeus and Philetus over there. But then he says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standing sure, having this seal. God knoweth them that are his, and whether we fall or err, if we're one of his, that don't change the fact we're one of his. I tell you what, perseverance of the saints is of God and not of man. Many of us make it to heaven. Mortal glory won't be because any of us persevered in the faith, but it'll be because God.
Yeah.
Because God preserved us to eternal life. Amen. Just in case y'all want to know where Brother Joe stands on that. I know thy works and thy well, I'm backing up too far. He says, I have somewhat against thee. You know, I'm reminded of the old rich young ruler that says, I've done all these things and but he still had that one thing. He still had that one thing. Church at Ephesus here, he says, all these good things that they had done, he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Mm-hmm. How can they do all these things that it says they do and still have lost, or left, not lost, they didn't lose it, they left thy first love? You know, I like to put this in a practical sense. I believe I'm looking around at some elders, maybe some members too, that have fought battles. Some of them are a lot more fortunate, maybe unfortunate than me. I haven't had to fight many battles as far as this church did, or maybe some of these elders have had to have. I haven't had to tangle. I found rest in the scriptures, but I haven't had to rest, WRST, the scriptures with a lot of folks. But this church here has fought against false apostles and fought against false doctrine. You know, sometimes I think maybe we get so busy fighting those things that we lose sight of why we're fighting in the first place. Sometimes we lose sight. Well, how do we come here? Child of God, God has laid out a way to deal with those things. That shouldn't be our focus. No, I believe I'm standing before a bunch of elders that are good pastors, good shepherds, and they do their job. And a lot of time, I know I had a lot of elders that did a good job. I didn't even know anything was going wrong. You know, I find that's probably a good shepherd. It's probably somebody that goes out there and looks at the surveys the field. Looks out for the bulls, looks out for the snakes, and they take care of them without the sheep ever knowing.
Right.
Tell you what, that's the kind of shepherd I want to be. I'd rather protect the sheep, feed the sheep, that way they could eat in peace and rest. It's a great responsibility on health. But it's ours. They had spent so much time, I believe, fighting against these things that it had become where they couldn't rest. This is the church, child, to come up. This is Hebron. This is a city of refuge. This is a house of rest for God's people. It's supposed to be that, child of God. And how do we keep it from being that other thing? Is we focus on our first love, love. You know, a lot of times I think about first love like that. I think about the first person I love. But you know, that's not really your first love. It's not really your first love. It's not about who you first love. It's about who first loved you.
Amen.
You know, I can know from a natural standpoint that I didn't love first. I tell you what, when I was born, my mother and my father, they were the, from a natural standpoint, they were the first ones that loved me. Before I ever knew what love was, before I knew how to love, they loved me. Over to the book of 1 John. Some of these brethren probably heard me use it a lot. I love it. We talk about being full assurance. Assurance to God's people that He is theirs. 1 John chapter 4, verse 12, it says, no man has seen God at any time if we love one another. It's already been mentioned that we know we have passion, death, and life. Why? Because we love brethren. The fact that you are here today, child of God. Why did you come here today? Yes, you love the Lord, but you know what? I remember as a child, my first memories of the church, what I loved before I ever understood the gospel, I understood those folks loved me. The brethren loved me. I loved being together with them. I don't know if y'all play cutball up here, but I remember my cousins all gathered behind Old Union Church playing cutball. I loved to be there in fellowship with the saints of God because I felt loved there. And I tell y'all, God, if you feel love, this is evidence that God dwells in us. You are born of His Spirit. Heaven's going to be your home one day. It is yours, Brother Ronnie. It is yours, child of God. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us. I mean, we can know things, we know some things. Isn't it wonderful to know some things? I don't know a lot, but I know this. He says, hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. That's what the brethren have already testified to this today. That is an evidence that you have the Spirit already and not a means to get it. He says, because He hath given us His Spirit. The verses I really want to get down to is verse 17. And I'll close here and let the names come on. It says verse 17, herein is our love made perfect. Here's some of that boldness again that Brother Jerry talked about. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness. How do we have boldness? Boldness in the day of judgment. You know, that's contrary to a lot of doctrine. Most doctrine says we can't have boldness in the day of judgment. But this tells me right here that herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we. Brother Ronnie just preached that He is our righteousness. As He is. As He is righteous, so are we righteous. Right now He has made us righteous. We talked about fear here this morning already. I want you to understand something about God's love. And I believe this is a solid misunderstanding of in the world today. That they don't understand how God loves. They apply how man loves and don't understand how God loves. I don't mean to say they. Things like that. I hope that don't come up confrontation. He says there is no fear in love, but perfect love. Perfect love. Who has perfect love? I can't say that I got perfect love, brother. I try my best. But this Bible tells me no greater love hath any man than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our God, they love perfect love. They love perfect love. He says there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. I tell you, child of God, the way you've learned about God's love has caused you to fear. You need to read this verse again, because this tells me that perfect love casts fear out. The way you have learned Christ, if it teaches you to fear in His love, you've learned that we need to go back to the book. We need to go back to the textbook. He says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we love like that? I tell you what, my grandma told me not to call names out from the stands, but I know we've got some that have gotten engaged here. I'm not going to do that, but I tell you, I can reflect back on when I was a spouse and I asked my wife to marry me. You know, even though we had dated and I loved her and I'm pretty sure she loved me, even when I went to ask her, there was at least 1% of fear. Why? I don't know anybody that's got down on one knee. I think there's at least 1% of fear. She would say she didn't love me. Verse 19, since we love her. Why? Because he first loved us. Yes. There's your first love.
Amen.
That's who first loved you. How long has he loved you, child of God? Since before the foundation of the world, according as you were chosen in him. He loved me because he first loved us. You know, if I knew just because I loved my wife that meant 100% that she loved me, I wouldn't even have that 1% of fear. I tell you, child of God, you don't have to have 1% of fear today. In the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he loved you 100%. The work he did was 100%. And when he nailed it to the cross of Calvary, the work was finished. And he sat down forever on the right hand of God. And I tell you, child of God, I said I'd close there. I'm sorry, Brother James. Brother James has taught me better than me. But I really wanted to get to this next verse in Galatians, but I want to tell you, child of God, we need to stand fast and hold fast when we understand these things, when these truths have been revealed to us. We need to hold fast. You know what? We look at the book of Galatians. Let's just so I can case it on a little bit here. We look at that first verse, and I think in chapter 3 it says, O foolish Galatians, who is bewitching you so that you should not obey the truth? What happened to Galatia, the church of Galatia? They had the truth. And I believe in Galatians right there within that chapter 3, it said that it had been set before their eyes. Christ had been set. It had been preached correctly to them. They embraced that truth. They loved that truth. They held on to that truth, but then they strayed from that truth and let the works of the law back in there. And then Paul writes later in chapter 4, he goes on to say, and he goes through and tells them how it can't be of the works of the law. He tells over in Galatians, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness cometh by the law, then Christ is died in vain. But he says over there in the chapter, he says, where is this blessedness? Where is this blessedness that you spoke of, that you rejoiced in? Paul recalls the time that they would have ripped out their eyes and given it to him. Now that's a graphic demonstration. But they loved the truth so much at that point that they would rip their eyes out and give it to him. You know, I don't believe they actually would rip out their eyes and give it to him, but the verse I just mentioned, it says that gospel had been set before their eyes. I tell you, child of God, once this gospel is set before your eyes and you understand it in truth, and that is by his grace and by his mercy alone, I tell you, child of God, don't look at anything else. You might as well rip your eyes out and hold on to that. I tell you, child of God, this truth that we have in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I don't want to see anything else. Oh, Brother Joe, you just need to open up your heart. Your heart is just closed to these other things. No, child of God, my heart is full of his grace and mercy. There's no room for anything but his love and his perfect love. I thank you for your good morning.